When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning into this week's Food for Thought, a podcast that's on a mission to equip you all with the evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each of the 12 episodes, I'll be joined by guests, all of whom are experts in their field, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. The benefits of exercising are indisputable, but for all sorts of reasons, we might not be getting the results we want. While we can think that we've got a regime down to a T, there are so many factors affecting our performance and ultimately our physical and mental health too. This week's Food for Thought sees trainer Sohee Lee and I explore the mistakes we could be making when it comes to exercise and how we can alter these to transform our fitness. Hello, Sohee.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I'm delighted to be able to speak to you. Let's talk about fitness and something that I know you're extremely passionate about. And I think one thing that's so concerning for health professionals like yourself is the fact that get fit quick seems to be what every program and every app says. But can you really do that? Get quick fit?
Well, I think first it's important to define what people mean when they say they want to get fit, right? And I think the norm, at least amongst women, is that when they say they want to get fit, they typically want to look a certain way. And they usually that entails shedding a certain degree of body fat. And when it comes to achieving fast results, the real risk that I see comes in what it would require to achieve those results quickly. And typically that involves relying on very drastic measures that in and of themselves maybe are not problematic. They typically are. But the issue more so is, what do you do once you're done? What do you do once you reach the finish line? And people typically don't think beyond, once I get to my goal, what am I going to do after that? What's my plan for my everyday behaviors, and how am I going to reconcile with the fact that I no longer have this ambitious goal to shoot for? Not only that, there are a lot of mindset traps that people fall into, very all or nothing, black or white, and it can be very difficult to move away from that, especially if you have not been taught any skills or behaviors or anything with proper guidance to navigate your way on your own for actual sustainable results.
100%. It's almost like a kind of propaganda of the fitness industry, and you kind of need to be able to see and read past the lines, as they say, or in between the lines, rather. How can you make these intentions a reality? Because it's all very well us saying, well, you need to look at it realistically, but how do people do that, Sohee?
Yes. Well, okay, so here's what I think a lot of people do when they set out different fitness goals. I think they focus too much on the end result. and not enough on what are you going to do to get there, and are these actual realistic behaviors that you can keep up over the long haul. Now, I'm not saying that to get to your goal, you have to keep up the same behaviors that you plan on continuing afterward necessarily. You can adopt some, for the time being, some temporary behaviors. Maybe you can crank things up a tiny bit, knowing that you probably won't keep it up over the long haul, but just to get you to where you want to be, you'll adopt these behaviors. But the point is there has to be some kind of careful thought process, planning process that goes into it. Because if you're, for example, slashing your calories down to, 800 a day or something like that, you probably don't think about how it's going to make you feel 5 days in. And how cranky and low energy and moody, and not only that, but what other nutrients are you depriving yourself of in the process? Mm-hmm. So these are a lot of mistakes that are made that people don't realize, okay, this is going to make things a lot more uncomfortable and a lot more difficult than you probably anticipated, which makes the likelihood that you will continue these behaviors very, very low. And that's the big problem.
Yeah, oh, it's so true. And I think the concern about, particularly for obviously my field, nutritional deficiencies when people do slash their calories like that, it's scary. Iron deficiency is a big one. Of course, it's so common already here in the UK. And it's very easy to do. And I don't think people realize that. So you touched on mood as well, how it can impact our mood. So what can we do, I guess, to aid our performance with the with mood? Is it doing the workout first, or it's like chicken and the egg, or does the mood come after we've done the workout?
Ooh, I think it's really tricky. I think they go, it's kind of go, they gotta go hand in hand, you know. I think certainly if it's a workout that you actually enjoy, right, that's an important key point too, is are you actually doing things that you look forward to? If it's a workout you enjoy, then hopefully you should leave the workout feeling better and in a better mood. But of course, there are going to be some exercise modalities that certain people simply do not enjoy, simply despise. And if that's the case, then maybe what they're feeling during the workout is not excitement. And when they finish the workout, it's not that they're in a better mood. Maybe they feel relief that that is done. I don't know. But assuming that it is a fun workout, yes, it should help you be in a better mood. And overall, not just on a workout per workout basis, but on a maybe a weekly workout schedule, if you're able to successfully adhere to your planned workouts, whether that be 3 workouts a week or 4 or 5, that is going to help with building up your feelings of self-efficacy. And that's then going to make it more likely that you keep up these behaviors over the long haul, thus helping you in the behavior change outcome goal achievement process. And that's another component that a lot of people do not consider. And it's a big part of why I'm such a huge component of, are you actually setting realistic behavior goals that you can adhere to most of the time?
Yeah, because this is the thing, and it's the same in nutrition. Psychology and nutrition work hand in hand, but psychology and fitness does. Just, it's like a triangle, isn't it? As well as nutrition. In fact, it's more than a triangle. It's a big circular pie with every single factor. And I love that you mentioned self-efficacy. That's something I did my first ever dissertation on, but to do with diet, Bandura's theory. I remember back, anyway, I'm not going to go off topic with that actually, because I could chat about that forever, but you're right about the fact that it's not just about a schedule and, oh, I feel great after that workout. It is making it realistic, because otherwise we're setting ourselves up for failure, and that feeling and that emotion is something we cannot control, so it's better in the first place. I think to create healthy habits, because if something becomes habitual, we're more likely, aren't we, to stick to it. But equally, habits can also negatively affect our results with exercise, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. And what's tricky is that your brain does not differentiate between, I put this in quotes, good versus bad habits, as in, helpful habits versus unhelpful habits. That they work the same way in your brain. But what's nice is, I like to place an emphasis on building up and focusing on the right habits that you want to add into your life, rather than simply saying, these are the habits that I want to break.
Yes.
So focusing more on the positive, on adding versus subtracting.
I guess starting from whatever you're capable with as well, because I guess in terms of, if we go back to the mood question, even just getting outside and getting fresh air and going for a walk, it doesn't even always have to be a workout, is going to contribute towards a goal of, I guess, becoming fit, isn't it? It doesn't have to always be a scheduled, or perhaps you disagree, a scheduled specific workout.
I think it can be almost anything. I think that if you can be specific yet flexible with your plan, that gives you enough clarity so that you know what you're doing, but enough wiggle room so that if something comes up in your life, you're not throwing in the towel completely. That is the right mindset to have. And yes, there are, you can do other, you don't have to do a specific workout. You can just go out for a nice stroll if you want, depending on how you're feeling. So there are lots of different ways to make progress.
Yeah, completely. And something I love about you is that you're always very honest about this. And I think you appreciate the fact that people's day jobs will, of course, have an impact on our physical health, performance, and what we're capable of, which I guess comes down again to being realistic.
Completely. And I think I feel like it's an uphill battle a lot of times, because especially on social media, I mean, I love social media for many reasons, but I'm sure you know how frustrating it can be a lot of times. And when I see other fitness trainers telling their audience, there is no such thing as balance, you have to go all in, you have to be hardcore, it's all about self-control, all of these things, to me, continue to perpetuate this incorrect notion that you have to throw yourself into whatever you're doing 100%, and it has to feel like you're suffering, and you have to give up your entire life to achieve your goal. And while that may, the idea of it may sound impressive to a lot of people, especially with, for example, New Year's resolutioners, they want to set ambitious goals. I would have no issues with it if people had no problem actually achieving goals in that way. But as you know, that's not how it works out. And it's always that they forget to consider, this is going to be a lot harder than you realize. This, you're going to be a lot more uncomfortable than you realize, because right now you are feeling highly motivated, you are well fed, you are well rested, you are in a good mood. So it's difficult to empathize with how you may feel in a future situation when you don't feel these things, when you feel the opposite. And this is what we call the hot cold empathy gap.
Oh, it's so interesting, isn't it? And I guess it doesn't also, I think for people online as well, if we talk about empathy as well, in particular, people experience a lot of fear, a lot of nerves, a lot of anxiety when it comes to behavior change, or I guess living up to anything you see online, or these particularly dogmatic voices that say it's their way or the highway. So what can people do to decipher or switch off from this?
Ooh, that is a big question. Tricky. Yes, I was just having a conversation with some friends yesterday about exactly this. What is the best way to address this kind of stuff, and how do you know what to look out for? I think for me, my approach has always been to simply go into learning information from people, especially if I don't know them that well, I don't know their background, with be somewhat skeptical. Be maybe curious but skeptical. And typically, if they're making very wild claims and then conveniently selling a product or a service along with it, it's probably something to be suspicious of. And that's been pretty effective so far. And at least for me, because I know not everyone has, you know, the ability to or confidence to go in and, you know, read research papers on their own. But, you know, I can go back and look up different research to be like, I wonder if this claim has any validity, has any scientific support. And then from there, I can make my own decisions, which is nice for me. But I think overall, typically trying to avoid anyone making very extreme claims is probably going to be a good bet. Anyone telling you that you need to give up X, Y, Z things in your life, that you need to make drastic sacrifices, such as cutting out entire food groups, probably something to be a little bit more wary of.
I love that. Really sound advice. And equally, I guess, as well as people telling you to take things out, people saying that you have to supplement or you have to do this. And basically, yes, there is no black or white, I think. And
right.
How do you also conquer from your aspect there that these people perhaps using apps or online programs, they don't have a qualified trainer in the room with them. So there's probably quite a high percentage of exercises being performed incorrectly. So I guess there isn't a way to prevent this, but what would be your advice for people following?
Yeah, so that is really, really tricky. So several years ago when I started training people in person and online, I realized very quickly that basically, you know, training beginners online was a lot more dangerous than training an experienced person for reasons that you just mentioned. Mm. A lot of times you, even if you're telling them all the right coaching cues, they might think they're doing exactly what you're saying, but maybe if the body awareness or the movement skill is not there yet, then what they might be actually doing may be very different from what they think in their head is actually going on. And the biggest issue with that is primarily from a safety standpoint, right? Because you don't want people getting hurt. So absolutely, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be following along different workouts they see online, perhaps with questionable form. And so for me, I always try to make it clear, you know, who this workout is for if I'm sharing a workout, and try to give form pointers, knowing again that not everyone might get it right still. If you're a beginner, I try to recommend recruiting the help of a qualified in-person trainer, at least for the first few months, although I know right now things are a little bit different. But in normal circumstances, if you can get an in-person trainer to help with, maybe if they can help out with providing specific tactile cues, you know, if they put their hand on your low back while you do a certain exercise, will that help you with your form a little bit? Things like that. And that can be tremendous. Not just that, but for the actual person doing the workouts too, it can help them, once again, build self-efficacy in knowing, oh, I have a qualified trainer standing with me, watching over my form, telling me that my reps look good. That makes me feel better and more confident in what I'm doing, right? So then they're more willing to then maybe grab a heavier pair of weights or add an extra rep because of that. So that's another component. But I think overall, yes, recruiting the help of a qualified trainer, or there are some, maybe you can follow some more like beginner pages where they break down exercises, they regress them back to its more beginner forms that you can more confidently do. If you can, I recommend filming yourself doing an exercise and then watch back your own form. You don't have to post it for anyone to see. I found that tremendously helpful for even something as simple as the squat. Because you might find, oh, I'm not going nearly as deep as I thought I was in my head now that I'm watching this back, for example. So that can be really helpful.
I guess it's the ultimate conundrum that we have an online world now, essentially more popular than ever before, and we do have to adapt to doing things this way. So it's really good. Thank you for those tips and for the advice, because it's given access to people that would never have had it, perhaps something wonderful. But that's a whole other podcast, I think, discussing how can we move the world online. Let's talk about numbers then, which, again, I think can be emotive for a lot of people. I think there's a lot of talk online about calorie deficits, that you only see results if you see it written down in a statistic or statistical format. Do you think numbers and results can perhaps hinder goals for people? Tricky.
Do you mean in terms of calories and things like that?
I guess also perhaps, let's say, a gym piece of equipment says, right, you've done half an hour on what we call the cross trainer or the elliptical, and you've burned 250 calories. Therefore, perhaps the target was to be on for 45 minutes or to make a higher calorie output. So you stop because you've reached it, or you don't stop because you haven't reached the number.
Gotcha. This one is another tricky.
I really Sorry, think I'm asking that, them all.
No, it's important because I wish that there were fewer questions that had where the correct response was like, it depends, you know? Yeah. But I think that it varies from one person to the other, because I actually just talked about this on my own social media platform last week, where I said, look, I know for me, I have a certain running goal, which is why I'm doing these specific workouts, and I'm tracking my performance every week, and my goal every week is to improve my performance. So I am absolutely timing how fast I can run an 800 meter for four sets, things like that. And I said, I know that that's what makes it fun for me, and that's what keeps me coming back, because that is conducive to my ultimate performance goal. However, I know that for other people, this might be very anxiety inducing. This might be the very thing that makes it not fun for someone else, where they're like, I don't want the pressure of having to feel like I have to run faster every time. And they just want to show up and get a sweat on for 30, 40 minutes and go home. And they're fine with that. And so I said, you know what, if that's your goal, that is completely okay. You do not have to improve your performance necessarily, depending on what your goal is. And trying to do what I'm doing might be the thing that gets you to stop running, stop doing cardio. It might, you know, have the opposite effect for you, whereas for me, it keeps me showing up. And so I do think that tracking progress in some way, shape, or form is going to be helpful. Absolutely. But then it comes down to, what are the things that you should actually be measuring?
Yep.
Right? And maybe for cardio, maybe it's just a matter of being active in some way, shape, or form, and getting your heart rate elevated for 20 minutes or longer. Maybe that's just the goal. And if that's the case, then you can just say, you know, any cardio modality for a minimum of 20 minutes up to, I don't know, 45 minutes, do whatever you enjoy at this rough intensity. And maybe that is enough to get you moving in the right direction. But then other things, like when you're tracking your behavior adherence, your habit adherence, that might be more important to track with specific numbers in terms of, okay, now the end of the week, let's look back. What has your behavior adherence been in terms of total percentage-wise? And is it 90% or higher, which should be the goal? Because if it's not, it's probably not going to be as effective in getting you to where you want to be, right? Because adherence is key. And if that's the case, then how can we either modify the target behavior to make it more doable, to help increase your adherence, or how can we change your immediate environment to make the behavior easier to do? There are lots of different ways to tackle this. But absolutely, I think that numbers can be helpful. It really comes down to a matter of, what numbers are you tracking?
Mm-hmm.
Which are the really important ones? And which ones can you ignore and not concern yourself with?
Absolutely. It's just so much more. Another thing that just I just thought of when you were saying that was the fact that for women as well, of course, they may want to change those numbers or those goals or anything that they're working with if numbers works for them. Obviously, there are two types of people throughout their menstrual cycle. There's so many different areas of their life. Perhaps they're going through a lot of stress at work, or this applies to men and women, all genders. What about the other extreme that I see online all the time? So taking a rest, which some people will say we definitely don't rest enough, or that's all we should be doing, and other people say, oh, never take a rest, you know, rest is for the weak, that kind of attitude. Do you think this can have a big knock-on effect physically and psychologically?
Yes. rest is could, because how much rest is ideal for everyone? Right, I think different people have different recovery capacities. Some people may feel more easily run down than others. But I am of the opinion, generally speaking, that a lot of people are either not actually taking enough rest, or they are taking rest, but they're feeling guilty about it because they've been taught to believe that they should always be working themselves into the ground. So that's kind of where I stand with that. And I think as far as what amount of rest is optimal for the individual, I typically say something along the lines of whatever amount is going to help you feel recovered for your workouts, for your sessions, so that you can keep making progress towards your goals, again, whatever that is, without feeling burnt out. And if you wake up starting to feel like maybe your workout performance is suffering, that may come down to, are you actually getting enough rest? Of course, there are other factors at play here, of course, like your nutrition, but that's one of the variables I would definitely be looking at.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's so important. And then you have also the online demon of comparison, which everybody's now experiencing more than ever before. And I know that when we were doing in-person fitness classes, I think people found that very difficult, but is it helpful in sometimes? I don't think it's discussed in that way. It's always seen very negatively, which of course it can be a huge hindrance, but can it ever be helpful as well?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I think it can be helpful, and it really comes down to how the individual is perceiving that comparison and how they're interpreting that comparison. For example, I'm going to use a non-fitness example, more of a career example. If I have someone who I look up to in the industry who is maybe 10, 20 years ahead of me career-wise, and I'm comparing myself to them, I might use that as inspiration for myself, saying, wow, if I keep this up for the next however many years, I could maybe find myself in that same position or similar position one day. How amazing would that be? And that might motivate me. But I think if you're using it as a means of, wow, that person is all the way there and you're down here, really, that's all you're doing, of course, which is, I think, maybe the norm in how typical people typically view comparisons. Of course, that can be very self-defeating, and that might actually be demotivating. So I don't think that comparisons are inherently harmful at all. But yes, how you interpret that comparison is going to be very, very important.
Yeah, I completely agree. A lot of things are down to individual interpretation, and it's almost that's why I love these discussions that we have on Food for Thought, because it's constantly about, of course, even science, you know, how you interpret science, how people view it. Obviously there are statistical facts, but then it's how they can be applied. And
I mean
if you're looking at fitness, which we are today, one of the big areas that I think confuses people, and it's the same in the nutrition and health world, is what should you be looking for? Who, rather, should you be looking for to help you with your fitness journey? Are there any specific qualifications? Is it well regulated as an industry? Is it not? What do people look out for?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. Oh. It's like it's a minefield.
Yeah. Well, I think obviously having the proper credentials is important. And ideally for like nutrition, for example, if you can have someone who is a registered dietitian or has similar level qualifications where, you know, it's not a weekend certification, would be nice. I think with personal training that it is a little more open because there are so many different certifications you can go through. And especially when you're sifting online, I would also be looking for someone whose values align with yours. And usually you can actually get a really good sense of their values just by scrolling through their posts, seeing what they talk about, you know, what's important to them, what they say is not okay, what is okay. You get a sense of how they coach people and see who you resonate with. And I think that's really an overlooked component of having a professional relationship with someone is not just do they have the knowledge, but will the two of you be on the same wavelength with communication, with personality wise? Are you going to be a good fit? Because you know, a lot of times, I say this more and more lately. Actually, it does not matter how much someone knows if they don't know how to help you.
Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of that does come down to proper communication. Is do they have empathy when you open up about a struggle? Are they shaming you or are they helping you?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's almost the same as the language that's used in terms of showing kindness, how you speak to someone. Yeah, because other people will thrive off a PT or a personal trainer that supports them, it's really empathetic, and other people will need a personal trainer that's a bit more straight down the line. No time for that kind of thing, you know? I guess it comes down to what people need too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And people should... You'll know, I think, when you scroll through their pages or you interact with them, like, does this interaction make me feel good? Or does it make me feel like I'm being babied? Or is it too harsh, right?
Yeah.
And there are, what's great is there, you have an unlimited number of options for people to help you potentially. which is a great thing, because you're not stuck with any single person, and you can always take a few weeks, a couple of months to, you know, shop around, look around, see who you like the most, who you think is the best fit for you. Yeah.
Shop around for your PT.
Yes,
love it.
Yes. Do that rather than just looking at, oh, this trainer has great client transformations, I'm going to fork over my money. That's not enough, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, right? 100%. Yeah. And it leads me on to questions from our audience today. So Ella has said, do you have any tips for me? I'm in my 50s. Is it too late to start taking up a fitness program?
It's never too late.
Yay.
It is never too late. A few months ago, I was posting about my mom, who at the time was 59. She's 60 now, but I was like, she's basically a beginner to lifting. And here she is doing a beginner full body workout that I'm taking her through. And I said, you know what? A lot of people would say after a certain age, it's too late to start anything, any project, any hobby, any skill. It's too late to start lifting. It's never too late. And I think that's what's so great about strength training and fitness and all these things is, and behavior change and habits, is there's never a time point where it's like, these no longer apply to you because of your age cutoff. You know, you should have started this when you were in your 20s, in your 30s. There's nothing like that at all. And a lot of the same lessons for, these are the foundations of how to improve your nutrition. These are the places where you want to start. Probably going to be more or less the basics, anyway, the basics are going to be the same. Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess, in your 50s as well, or whatever age, you're helping prevent your risk of illness, you're strengthening your bone mass, muscle mass, all of it. So these are really important things. So no matter what the age, it's always going to be beneficial. Patrick has also said, this made me chuckle a little bit because I know so many people like this, to really aid my performance, do I need to give up the booze? From Patrick.
Yeah, well, I don't think it needs to be given up completely, but if certainly you don't want to be having, you know, an entire bottle of wine every night. It's probably not going to be the most helpful thing. But if we can learn to moderate it, right, have very specific limits on your alcohol intake, and if you're able to successfully adhere to that, then absolutely it can be completely fine, especially if it's something like one or two glasses on the weekends. I see absolutely no issue with that at all.
Brilliant.
But there then, you go, Patrick. Of course, I think, yeah. I think alcohol can be tricky, though, because, you know, of course, there are going to be some people who have a lot more difficult time moderating. And it is different from food in that, you know, you could get by without it. right? And I do think that for certain people, maybe complete abstinence is going to have to be the answer. Whereas other people, many other people are able to successfully really moderate their intake and do fine in that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's definitely all about moderation and doing what works for you. Sinead has asked, she said, I know exercise helps me, but I feel too tired to do it. How do I change?
Got it. My immediate thought was, what do you count as exercise?
Yeah.
And when you do your workouts, what types of workouts are you doing? Because are you doing workouts that are maybe too long? To where when you are feeling tired, you're like, this is going to take me an hour. I'm too tired to do this. Are you doing workouts that you don't look forward to, that are not fun for you? Right? Mm-hmm. Because let's say if I said for now, and this brings us back to behavior adherence. Let's say for now, I said, okay, I know you're very tired. I know that you've been having a difficult time sticking to your traditional workouts. What if I said three times a week, at any time of day that is best for you, let's do a 10-minute session in your living room or wherever is most convenient for you. If I said, let's do 10 minutes, would you be willing to do it no matter how tired you felt, knowing that it was very short and only three times a week, right? Mm-hmm. So this is an example of how I've scaled back a behavior to make it very, very doable, to where it relies on very low levels of motivation to happen. And this is the opposite of how a lot of people actually approach the behavior change process. They go hard and heavy right away. And I'm thinking, no. We want to set behavior goals that don't require high levels of motivation, so that when you are feeling super tired, you can still say, you know what, I can still do this. I can still do this.
Yeah.
Then again, as we go back to and end of the week, you have 100% adherence. How are you going to feel about yourself knowing that you successfully hit 3 out of 3 workouts? And then you can build from there over time.
Yeah, there you go. It's completely true. It's just making it work for you. And it's if you dread something, I mean, I know how it feels when you dread it. It's just not the right thing for you, I think. Just find something else.
Yes. 'Cause
there are lots of options out there. Right, we move on to our fact or fiction round, Sohee. Are you ready?
Yes.
She says with hesitance there.
I'm like, okay.
It's difficult to answer fact or fiction to them, but let's see how we go. Number one, being lean means you're fit.
That is false.
Health isn't determined by weight.
Also false.
Getting a low body fat percentage can be achieved quickly.
I'm going to go with false fiction.
Nutrition is the biggest influence on your body shape.
What are you thinking? I was like, yes and no, because can I give like a...
Yes, yeah. Go for it. Give an answer.
Nutrition, yes. Nutrition, I think nutrition can determine, you know, like help determine body weight and body size. As far as specific body shape, I think strength training has a pretty big impact on that as well. So that was where I was hesitating a little bit.
Love it. Working out in the morning means better results.
False. Fiction.
Hydration can affect your performance.
True. That is fact.
Form is more important than the time for results.
I'm going to say fact.
Lack of sleep can reduce muscle.
Absolutely true.
I know, right? This is one big one there.
That sucks.
If you want to get fit, rest days don't work.
False. That is fiction.
And the last one, fitness is more difficult with age.
Also false.
Yeah, that was a great fact or fiction round.
Ooh, that wasn't so bad.
Not only have I made you switch your aircon off because we could hear it on the mic, I've now put you in a hot seat. So I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I was like, I hope she doesn't ask me something I don't know the answer to. Yeah.
I mean, that's why we do these fact or fiction rounds. Obviously, it shows the nuance that it's very hard to say just one thing's yes or no. But that does nearly wrap up the episode, Sohi. But we always finish with a food for thought. And I think mine today to start would be the fact that we know, well, I hope you all know by now listening to this podcast, that nutrition and physical activity regularly are so beneficial for your health. It's indisputable the impact that it can have on longevity, lifespan, quality of life. And one thing that we touched on in this episode that I don't actually think we speak about enough is the importance of weight-bearing exercise on our infrastructure, our skeleton, and not being as frail when we age. And it doesn't mean you, I guess, you have to lift heavy weights. You could just lift cans of things, or you go for a walk. That's still weight-bearing exercise. But ultimately, it makes such a huge difference on our lifespan and how we feel every single day. And I guess self-efficacy and the psychology around it that we've touched on is a completely fascinating area. And I think what Sohi's very nicely done in this episode is touched on something I don't think a lot of people are talking about at the moment, especially in her field and in the fitness industry, which I think needs a bigger voice. So Sohi, if you could leave our listeners with a take-home message today, what would that be?
Ooh, okay. So many. I gotta choose one.
I know. Knowledge bombs today.
Yes. I would probably reiterate the message that whatever your outcome goal is, whatever it is that you want to accomplish, it is more important to focus on what you are doing every day to get yourself there rather than looking at the outcome and doing whatever it takes to get to the finish line and not thinking about how is what I'm doing making me feel? Am I going to be able to keep this up week after week? What else? How is this going to impact other areas of my life? That's another big one is a lot of times in people's pursuit of their fitness goals, their quality of life goes down the gutter or their mental health really suffers and they don't even realize or they don't care. And these are mistakes that I made at the beginning of my fitness journey. And looking back, I really wish I had done things differently. And, a big motivation for me for why I talk about the topics that I do on my platform is kind of speaking to a younger version of myself. Hopefully, you know, this is the information that I needed when I was younger at the beginning of my journey. I wish someone had told me these things and no one was. And that's why I'm doing it now. But also, you don't have to needlessly suffer. While some degree of compromise obviously needs to be made for change to happen in the right direction, you don't have to give up everything in your life. You are allowed to have a social life and, you know, have fun and feel good about yourself while simultaneously making your way towards your goals. And I think the other thing too is to not forget to give yourself credit for successfully implementing any behavior that turns into a habit is something that should be celebrated, especially if it's, you know, a helpful habit that is adding to your life. Because even if no matter how slow you think you're going, maybe by the end of the year, you've added five good habits into your life. That's five things you weren't doing before. That's pretty cool.
100%.
So yeah, I'm so big on, yes, they seem small to you, but they add up over time and you will be surprised at how much your life will transform.
Oh, sorry. That was, especially at the end, that was going, yes, yes. To everything you were saying, I was like, we need to give ourselves a pat on the back. For all of our listeners, Sohi, where can they go to find out more about the wonderful knowledge that you're spreading and the work that you do?
Okay, so thankfully, my platform name is the same all across the board. My username is Sohi Fit. I have my website, sohifit.com. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even Clubhouse, which is the new app. Everything is Sohi Fit, so I'm very easy to find. I am most active on Instagram, though.
Amazing. Well, Sohi, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought today. And to everybody, go check her out. She's a knowledge bomb. And have a lovely rest of your day. If you are enjoying Food for Thought, you'll absolutely love our up-and-coming episodes. So if you don't already subscribe, then make sure that you click to be the first to hear it every Monday. It would be brilliant as well if you have the time to leave a review, and that would mean that we could reach higher highs in the charts, and that would result in hopefully helping more and more people. For more information about my Retrition Clinic, books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.